Okay. Again, good morning, everybody. We're going to start our class this morning. Hope y'all had a good week. For the last couple of almost months, I would say, I kept having, trying to think of what you would call it, an impression about the armor of God and the body of Christ and how we are going through things, facing things, but why is it that sometimes we just almost sometimes give up as believers? And so it made my mind think when for me, let us pray first. Jeff, would you like to pray for us? Yes. Yes. Yes.
Bless our sister as she shares this today and just let us absorb all that.
Yes.
For us in Jesus.
Amen. So whenever I'm facing a situation, if I don't come through it exactly like I should, then for me, I say, okay, Lord, what happened? Was it something I did? Was it something I didn't do? Was it something I wasn't prepared for? And most of the time, and I don't mean this in an ugly way, sometimes we tend to run to people to say, how do you feel? But as believers, and really we're soldiers of Christ, and I won't really get into that until later, but we have to understand that if something is not working, change it. Don't keep doing the same thing. You have to change it. And to change it, you have to find out, where did I miss that link? Just like when you put a table together. If the table won't stand, that means something was left out. You know what I'm saying? And so we have to sometimes, we think, okay, well, I know church. I'm familiar with church, but do we? Do we actually know church? Do we actually know Christ like we should? And what I mean by know church, church was instituted not for you to just come and be happy, but it was instituted to teach you the ways of Jesus Christ, because that's who your new master is, correct? Yes. So when we were born again, you have to understand you were taken out of one kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, and you were placed into the kingdom of God. Amen. And so sometimes we have to find out what we need, how we need, and I really believe that's why we have the new members class, to get you introduced sort of to Christ. But then we have to go a step further, and it cannot be just something we do mentally, but it has to be something that we begin to put on Jesus Christ. In the new kingdom, if you went to go in the new kingdom, in order for you to function in that kingdom, you have to learn the laws and the bylaws. Because if you don't, you know what happens in the new kingdom if you do something wrong? It may cost you your life. Not on purpose, but it may cost you your life. So what we want to do, what I'm looking at, is the whole armor of God as, Lord, what did you give us that we would be victorious in everyday living? What did you tell us to do? How did you tell us to do that? Sometimes even in listening to messages, we get so in tune to just going to church and singing a song and praying a prayer and listen to a message and, oh, that was a good message, and we walk away from it. But do we actually see that message as the meat or that meal that we should eat and digest, that it would give us nourishment and our spiritual meat? You know, do we think of it that way? And so I guess what I'm kind of saying is we need to get a little bit more serious about our walk. We need to get a little bit more serious and in tune with God of, God, what do you want me to do? Because, see, after I said that I'm born again, Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, then I have stepped out of that old kingdom, y'all, into the new kingdom. So now what do I do, Lord? How do I face these issues? Lord, when I'm going through something and I just fall apart, what do I do? What do I do? You know what I'm saying? And sometimes we have a tendency to cry, to just have a meltdown. And if you need a meltdown, go ahead and take it. But when you get up, I need you to get it together. You know what I'm saying? And, well, it's just true. You know, and so last Sunday night, my son called me and he said, Mama, it was about 8:15. He said, I have to take my wife to we had to call the ER. The emergency. Can y'all hear me? I thought my mouth was kind of loud enough to where you couldn't hear me, but I will. Thank you. So, by 9:15, they had, we just kind of like, okay, she'll be okay. But by 9:15, they had announced her dead. And so it was like, Mom and Daddy, y'all got to come. So we got in the car, we went to where we need to go. So normally, I'm telling you this because normally with me, I have never been a person to deal with death very well. And so this time, and lately I noticed that when something's happened, instead of me getting that jitteriness or just that nervousness where I can't rest, can't sleep, can't do anything, I noticed that it was a peace and a calm that came. Even though the situation wasn't wonderful, but there was still a peace and a calm. And I thank God that all week long he kept us. He kept us so that we could help him, you know, deal with it. But what I'm saying is, I thank God that I realized he was kicking in because of what I've had learned from him and that I had begun to trust him in areas now that I used to didn't trust him in. I thought I did, but I really didn't. And I don't mean any harm, but when we begin to go through things, y'all, if it causes us to fall apart, we have to stop and ask God, Lord, what is it? Because you are my Lord, and in you I trust. So what is it even in this moment that I need to do? Because, y'all, that was from last Sunday to, that's my reality. I couldn't change it, but neither could I fall apart because I had to keep my son together. You see what I'm saying? He had to see some strength, but even yesterday, I mean, it was just wonderful. I know you say, Sister Faye, you're crazy to say that all this is wonderful, but it was just the hand of God that kept us, y'all. And you know why? And I thought about it. Faye, look at your class. Somewhere along the line, we put on a little armor. We put on a little armor because we have to fight. You're going to go through this life, and it won't be easy. And we have to put on our armor so we can fight. And so let's go to Ephesians 6. I got a question. Tell me, when I say the armor of God, what do you think about? Tell me what you think about. The what? Protection. Do you ever really think about the armor? Did you want to say something? Yes. And that's what it is. That's exactly what it is. It is protection, and it is preparation for battle. But what would happen, y'all, if I didn't know that? What would happen? Okay, my grandbaby went into the military about 2-3 months ago, and they took everything away, everything. You couldn't call her for 8 weeks. She had no contact. But when we saw her after 8 weeks, and it was rough. She said it was rough. She said it was really rough, and even some of the pictures that we saw. Well, y'all, that's what happens to us. But sometimes, y'all, maybe we've missed that basic training. Maybe somewhere along the line we've missed, and we don't know it. We don't understand, but we've missed that basic training to equip us. And so what they say to them is that, okay, when you signed on that dotted line and you said you would become a soldier of the United States Army, then now you belong to us. We don't care what you think about it. We don't care what you feel about it. From this moment, when we put you off on that little bus and you stayed all night and that other bus came, got you, and you got down there to somewhere in South Carolina, they took her. And when you stepped off there, that was it. And honey, that day it was a lot of tears and it was a lot of, oh God, my baby's gone. The mama, I thought I was going to have to take her mama to the hospital, but she survived. She survived. But my grandbaby had no idea. She knew what she wanted, but she had no idea the cost that it was going to take for her to get where she needed to go. And when she got through sleeping outdoors and going through the gas chambers and going through the training, she lost 40 pounds. She already wasn't that big anyway. I'm just telling you, I'm saying this because I want you to understand that you we're going to go through some things, but we can make it.
Today, the average weight of body armor is about 70 pounds.
Yeah.
But he kind of corrected me. He said, if you're going into combat, it can be 120 to 200 pounds of weight that you carry in with you. So it can even vary.
Yes.
The weight of the protection and that type of thing. And it is a complete system. I mean, you don't go in with just a helmet on.
Yes.
You've got to have the full equipment.
Yes. By the time she got to the end of that 8 weeks or 12 weeks, she was carrying 70 pounds of armor on her back, running 10 and 12 miles a day. And I thought that was horrible as a granny. I'm like, you did that to my baby? You know what I'm saying? You made her do all this stuff? And then to sleep outdoors for two or three nights, no, you know, we'd lose it. No bath, no nothing. Animals, hyenas, and you in the tall grass trying to whatever. But I said, honey, they're just trying to get you ready for where you got to go. Well, that's the same way it is with us. The Word of God is getting us ready for where we have to go. Even though we don't fully understand it, He's getting us ready for where we have to go. He's getting us ready for where we have to go. And so in the future, when we get ready to go through things, let us, before we fall apart, let's stop and say, Lord, what are you trying to do? Most of all, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? And that's the same thing I did with this lesson. Lord, what are you trying to teach Faye about the armor of God? Not just to teach a class, but what are you trying to teach me about the armor? What are you telling me? And what he's telling us is that, Faye, you need to get your armor on. You need to get ready because you need your protection and you need to be prepared for where I'm taking you. And this is life. This is what we call life. Because see, even in our battles, y'all, we want people to see God is sustaining us. And I'm not saying that he's not, because you cry. You can cry. That's okay. You can do anything you need to do. You know, my son had passed. I'm just fell on the floor, and my daughter's like, Mama, he in the floor. I said, baby, he'll get up. Leave him alone. We're just here to give him what he needs. Let him get it out. I said, it's okay. Because, see, even though he may depend on us, God is his Savior. So, you know what? If he fell in the floor, God is big enough to get him up. He's big enough to walk through it with him. And I know it's rough, but listen, this is where we're at, and this is what we have to do. So let's read Ephesians. I want you to think about the armor all the way through these classes. I want you to think about the armor. Because I'm going to put some, later on I will put up some pictures for you to see so that you will understand. Because now a lot of people, I'm a visual person. I like visual. I like. Ephesians 6. I'm actually going to read kind of all of it. The first one through, I'll tell you what I do like this. Verses 1 through 9 talks about the family relationships. But we'll start talking about the preparation in verse 10. But I want you to notice that in verse 1 through 9, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So he's talking to the children, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, what happens if that child doesn't do what the scriptures say? What happens?
May not live long.
And so you know what we say? Oh, my God. I can't believe God did that. Immediately, y'all, when we go through something, that's another thing. We always blame God when it's bad. Why do we do that?
Because the enemy puts that in our head.
Thank you.
We don't know any better, so that's what we go with.
I thank you for saying we don't know any better. That's why we're talking about the armor, so we can know better. That's why every time, y'all, we come to the Word of God, we need to take a moment and let that Word sink into us so that we know better.
We need to take that time. That's why, you know, normally I'm flowing like a train, and I said, well, I don't want to do that this time in my teaching. I want to take my time because I want to hear your heart as well as you hear my heart. But I want us to learn something after these 4 weeks. I want us to become stronger after these 4 weeks. Even tomorrow or this week when you're thinking, I want the Spirit of God to be able to touch you in some way about the armor of God and give us revelation and give us understanding. Because that's what we need. That's where our strength is. I love my brothers and my sisters, and I believe that when we come together corporately, God gives us another kind of strength. But if I can't come together with you, I need to know that God is with me. Wherever I am and whatever I'm doing, I need to know that he's with me. The verse 4 said, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Then he talked to the fathers. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, not as servants of Christ, doing as the Lord, wait a minute, not as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. That's another thing we have to, I think, really kind of sink in our hearts, is that everything that we're doing, whether somebody sees it or not, we're doing it unto God. We're not really doing it unto a man, even though they get the benefits of it. We're doing it unto God. And that's why our hearts have to kind of resonate and stay that, Lord, whatever you ask me to do, I'm doing it unto you. And so that way, no matter what that person has done or said, or it doesn't even matter whether you want to do it or not, you're doing it unto the Lord, because the Lord might have prompted you and asked you to do it. And I know this is a little different, because we're always taught, and we have the mindset in America, we only do what we want to do. That we don't want, and we don't bend and we don't change. But sometimes people need you to step outside of what, beyond what you want to do, and do what they need done. And that's the hand of God. Even though we think everything does not have to be about us. Because if it did, maybe, I mean, sometimes we wouldn't have people to come alongside us, because maybe they didn't feel like it. You know, if I got up and I didn't feel like doing breakfast, poor John wouldn't have no food. And he'd have to go throughout the day to about 12. But as my obligation for me as a wife, I feel like I'm supposed to make sure he has what he needs. As a wife and as a woman of God, I feel like I need to feed him at least breakfast so he can. I need to feed him at least that. Okay. Verse 8, knowing that whatsoever good things any man doeth, the same shall be received of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things as unto them. He's talking to the masters. Forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither there is respect of person with him. So he's talking about a relationship right there with the family. Now, these verse 10, when we started verse 10, it says, we're talking about the armor of God. We already answered the question, why do we need the armor? For spiritual protection, and another thing, for protection, for guidance, and I think I'm using the word guidance, but she said, what's the word you use, Naomi?
Don't
forget. Anyway, she's talking about guidance. But then also, what else came to me was, because the scripture said it. Because the scripture said it. We put on the armor because the word of God said to do that. And sometimes, y'all, we'll go to the word of God and it tells us to do something, and we say, we feel like we have an option.
But God tells us, I train your hands for war. And the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but God comes to give us life.
Give us life. Yes.
We're destroyed by lack of
That's it. I don't even need to do the other 4 weeks.
Yeah, the enemy
can come
out of the word of God. We don't feel the sword, we can't use the sword in a battle situation.
That's it.
Another thing that's just coming to my mind while we're talking is that we are on our own. We're defenseless. We're absolutely weak and powerless.
Mm-hmm. We need them. Yes.
Apart from God, if we understand that, then we'll never run to Him. We'll never lean
yes.
into Him.
Yes.
We'll never
yes.
cry out. To
yes.
Him. We, you know, so as we're talking, it just reminds
gosh,
me.
Gosh, that's good.
Man, I would be in real trouble.
Yes.
If I was trying to do this on my own.
We all would.
God in His mercy.
Yes.
Has provided all I need.
All I need. Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
How many of us kind of try to do it on our own?
Yeah.
We think we're just going to kind of pull our way through.
Yeah.
And we're capable and we can stand up to stuff. Now, let's just admit.
Yes.
We desperately need that armor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, when we were children and they sent you to school, they sent you to school to learn. And then the state required that your child had to do first grade through the 12th grade. Now, after that was on you. But the state required that you do that. And I think sometimes when we walk with God, we feel like I can just do what I want to do. Honey, you are here to learn. You are here to find out His heart, His way. Now, if you take off in a battle on your own, like He just said, you're going to be on your own. But then at the end of the battle, you're going to be mad and say, God, you wasn't with me. He said, I never told you to go that way. You chose that. I'm sorry? Yeah, but you know what? I think sometimes we don't feel like we have an option. You know, y'all, as new believers, you have to understand there's a new king on the throne, and so self has to abate. I hope that's the right word I'm using. We have to kind of dissolve and step back. Because there's a new king on the throne. And you don't come into the new kingdom telling the king what to do. You come in and you follow orders. Because if you don't, you go to jail. Pretty much, or you suffer. But again, it's our mindset, y'all. And I'm saying these things because we have to begin to think about, just like Mr. Ed just got to, think about that. Think about the position. Think about the state I was in before I knew God. You know what I'm saying? And I need to say this because it come to my mind, not to offend anyone. I don't really, I'm gonna try to say it in a sweet way. Because I hear people say this sometimes. I don't care how many degrees you got. You can have the associate's degree, you can have the bachelor's, you can have the master's, you can have the doctorate's. Your knowledge that you have acquired, that it don't even get on the board with the knowledge God has. It don't even touch it. So we have to be careful in our education that we don't feel like, because we got a couple of degrees, that we know more than He does. We must come to Him in a humble way, almost like, Lord, I don't know anything, teach me. And sometimes that's the best way to come to Him, empty. I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Uh-huh. That's how much we actually know, and that's where we have to grow from. So if you start hanging on that mustard seed, that's going to be your center point where
yes. We grow. Sometimes we don't feel like we grow. But I think in America, now y'all correct me if I'm wrong. I think in America that we think because we've seen churches built, even our parents took us to church, that we automatically feel like we know. And so if you don't come in here kind of empty, to be filled, you'll leave out with nothing. When the messages of God is being preached, and even when people are teaching you, we need to have an ear to hear. We need to have an ear to hear what God is trying to say to us. Because a lot of times, y'all, in situations, he is wooing us to say, I got an answer for you. I got an answer for you. But if we don't have an ear to hear him, we will walk over him and continue to do what we need to do. Say that again and say it louder. Yes.
And at first it might feel like this because, you know, I got good shape here.
Yeah.
Like way over here. When you have from your heart.
Yes.
It's want to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And all I'm saying is that sometimes we don't like the word humility, but when we come to God, y'all, we have to learn of that word humility. We have to learn to humble ourselves under his word, under his word. I know what I want to do, but God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And believe it or not, sometimes he'll ask you to do what you don't want to do, because his heart is to help that next person. Do you know what I'm saying? And his heart is for that person to see his heart. And he uses us, y'all, but it's him. It's him. You know, the hardest thing that for me is when people have crossed me or did something to me, and then that same person is like, you be like, oh, I don't want to be bothered. You know, when you don't even want to talk to him, Harley, but it's like, Faye, I need you to do what you're supposed to do right now. And so you speak to that person, and you love that person. We think we have the love of God because we love the people that love us. Yes, we do. Because it makes us feel good. But the true love of God, y'all, is when he prompts us to do to that person that we don't really care that much about. How about you taking them some food over there? How about you going out of your way and speak to them? If they're in the line and they don't have enough money, how about you giving them some money so they can get their food and go home? We don't like for God to ask us to do stuff to people we don't like. But that is where the real love of God kicks in. Because listen, y'all, he went to a cross he didn't have to go to for us. He's done so much for me. I can't even begin to tell you the things that God has done for me. But you know what he's done most of all that I love him for is that he's changing Faye's heart. Not just going to church, not just singing that song, not just doing that prayer, but he's changing my heart to his heart to say, this is what I need you to do. And you know, when we help others, we don't really realize it, y'all, but sometimes people will look back and say, you know what? I did so-and-so to them, and they helped me anyway. That's when they see God kicking in. And that's what it's about. It is about them seeing him. It is about them understanding him. Because that draws people. When people know they don't cross you and you do stuff to them, that causes them to look and see beyond you, which is God. Because they are watching us whether we watch them or not. And you know, I don't mean any harm by some things that I say, but I think it need to be said. You know, we don't come just to play. This is for real. Because once, you know, the breath leaves the body, that's it. Your story is over. And then it makes us think, you know, Lord, what is it you're trying to tell me? I'm trying to tell you, Faye, I want you to live. I love you. And this is another thing. Let me pop this off, too. People think because God loves you, that means you can do what you want to do. And he never gave us his grace and his love to do what you want to do. He gave us his grace and his love and his mercy so that we would do what is right. Now, my message is the whole, my teaching is the whole arm of God. And when God does this, it's here, it's for somebody. And I'm going to leave that alone and go back to Ephesians 10. So it says this, after he's talked about the family relationships, it says, finally, my brethren, Let's just deal with that one verse. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The word be, when we are born again, Acts 2 and 38, when we have the Spirit of God in you, you have everything you need already on the inside of you. Now you have to grow it. I don't want anybody in here to think that they don't have, if you are born again, that you don't have the power of God living in you. It's in you. It's in you. Why is it in you? I can't hear you. But why is it in you? How did you get it? Yes. So actually what happened in the Acts 2 and 38 was that he came in and he changed our heart. So if he's in there, can I take him out? Can a circumstance take him out? So if he's in you, then you need to bring your mind in agreement with your heart to say he's in me. And so when I'm going through in life, where am I going to revert to? How do I get him in me? But that might be the wrong question. How do I grow him in me? Say that again. Yes. And so if I don't read the word of God, then where does that leave me? Is he still in you? But what's wrong? Say that. And so what I need him to do is to grow inside of me enough that whenever whatever happens, that kicks in first. That kicks in first. Absolutely. And if you don't do that, I think that is Romans. Let's see. Yes. Can somebody find that for me? I don't have my Bible with me. Well, I do, but. Okay, y'all, can I, yeah. You got an issue, okay.
Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Sorry about that.
Okay, right there. What did the scripture say?
Okay. Yeah. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
How do I get transformed?
Yeah. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
If I don't renew my mind, what happens? Can I do what he just said? Hold on a minute. Hold it. If I don't, he already told me to be renewed in my mind. If I don't renew my mind, then read that again, the verse where you said that you may prove.
Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is.
Okay, so if I don't renew my mind, can I prove? Sometimes y'all in living, you have to separate the lie from the truth. Because if you keep believing the lie, then you'll keep going in that era thinking that God is against you and he is not against you. And you know why we believe that? Because we've heard people say it over and over and over again, and that has become your truth because we did not take time to find out that just like death is a part of living. It is a part of living. It is a part of living. And so when something happens, people will say, well, you know, I heard had one lady, she wrote a check, and the check bounced. And she got mad at the people that sent the check through the bank, right? And I said, well, I wrote that check, and didn't they send it through in the bank? I said, well, honey, I said, when you wrote the check, I said, was the money in the bank? She said, yeah, it was in that bank, but I had to use it. Well, babe, you can't do that. You know what I'm saying? Because that money was already taken. And you took your fingers and wrote that check. And you took your hand and put that check up there. Do you know what I'm saying? And so the people didn't do you wrong at the bank. You did you wrong. So to give you understanding, honey, in the future, when you write a check, that's just like, that's your promise that money is in the bank, so you can't go spend it. Now, if her thinking was off about the money in the bank, what you think about other things? See, we have to find out the truth, y'all. Because when we get ready to really get in this teaching about the armor, you're going to think it's rough sometimes. But the word of God is the word of God. That's what I stand on. That's all I have to stand on. If he said he was going to do it, I have to believe him that he's going to do it. If he said, Faye, I'm going to be with you even until the ends of the world, I have to understand. And what I tell people sometimes when it's rough, I say, honey, the end of the world ain't come, so he's still with me. Because his word said it. Not because I have some great, wonderful revelation, but I have to learn to trust God and understand his word is truth. If you don't believe his word is truth, then that's not going to work for you, and you're not going to believe it. I don't care if all the pastors lined up and told you the same thing. If you don't trust in God, if you don't believe his word is your truth, then there is nothing can be done. Hold on 1 second. She was going to say something. Do you need this? Yes. 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 And I need this to sink in, because y'all, if we keep teaching lessons and we keep teaching lessons and we keep preaching messages and we keep preaching and we don't see that this is real, we don't see that God's word is truth, we don't believe him, then it is not doing us any good. We are doing nothing but what do you call it? You are mental assenting to things. In other words, I'm hearing it, but I don't really believe it. But it makes me feel good because I've been taught to go to church. Yeah. I've been taught that when somebody's teaching or something, listen, but I need you to do more than listen. I need you to let that word sink in your heart. First of all, I need you to believe that his word is true. Go ahead, Ms. Ed.
A couple of quick questions. One is back to that word testing.
Yes.
I think Christians are the worst about just parroting out.
He said that. I did. Yes. Yes. Do we really believe?
The thing I'm thinking about is that the Bible talks about the enemy, the devil, being like a lion that roars around seeking, you know, whom to devour. That's real. But there's this tiny little phrase that pops up all through the New Testament that I think really is like a code word for a Christian, and that's the word in Christ. And I just wanted us to remember, being in Christ, even if there's a lion,
yes, and that
in Christ has to sink in here and here, and then you have to take the word of God and bring it in alignment.
Amen. Well, just to say, these were the prison epistles. Paul was in prison, chained to two Roman soldiers. This was the epiphany he got. God showed him the Roman soldiers with all their armor and everything on. I can't think of a worse situation to be in, to be chained between two Roman soldiers awaiting my death. You know, that type of thing. So you put your situation today that you're dealing with, I mean, Paul, he had to do that. He had to put himself in a position to where it was trusting God. And he said, I need to put on the full armor of God, just like these Roman soldiers who were guarding me and chained to.
Yes.
So it's an interesting setting for when he finishes the epistle there in Ephesians and tells us, but finally, in conclusion,
put this on. Yeah. You know what came across my mind was in the scriptures we read, and they went through it physically. And we take that lightly because sometimes we say, well, that's just a story. But in spirit, we go through it spiritually. And we don't even realize sometimes that you're in the lion's den. And what are you going to do? Because can't nobody come get you out of here. What are we going to do? But sometimes, y'all, we have to understand, you are in a spiritual battle. You entered it when you asked him to come into your life. Now, this is the good thing. He is not going to leave us uncovered, unprotected, and not knowing. We are to do what he says to do, and that's put it on. We are to do what he says to do when he says, come. Come follow me. And when you're following him, you're not giving any instructions. You're just doing what he's telling you to do. Is you follow him. Then you need to be able to come and ask, I need so-and-so. Don't assume that if you got it and I know you need it, and, I mean, you got it and I need it, I'm going to come and ask. Lord, now I might pray, Lord, help me. Show me. Doug got that money thing. You need to go over there. And when I go over there and ask, I'm coming, Lord, help. Please, Doug. Then I'm going to ask Elder Doug what I need. It's up to him to give it to me or not. But this is what I know, because I've been around him for about 20-something years, and I know his character, and I know him, is that when you need it, that you might get a couple questions first, but I know it does go beat my knees. Do you see what I'm saying? But he's going to make me accountable before he gives me what I need. And there is nothing wrong, y'all, with us being accountable. Okay, so this morning we didn't really get into it, and that's okay, because this is what I said with this class. I said, Lord, I know what I have wrote down, but I know what you want people to hear. And I know where you want us to go. And that basis is we have to believe Christ. We have to believe his word. Ask yourself, are you born again? And if you are and you say yes, then get on this train and let's go. All right. And that's all I'm at. What she trying to tell me something? Oh, you want to say something? I'm sorry.
Yeah,
yes.
And
hope we will get a little further.